How's everybody? And anointed and appointed. Amen. Are you all anointed and appointed?
Amen.
Amen. Set in position to fulfill the will of God. Amen. To God be the glory. Oh, He's so good to us. All the time, isn't He? How many of y'all know He makes a way where there doesn't seem a way? Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Would you turn to the book of Luke in chapter 3? And I welcome everybody here that's new tonight and all those that are new today. Amen. You all made brand new. His mercies are new every morning. Everybody's a new creation in Christ. All things have passed away and all things have become new. So that means you're new. As long as you're not holding on to yesterday. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Luke chapter 23. Oh, to God be the glory. In verse 44. Is everybody there? We'll read it together. Luke 23 and verse 44. Lord, open our spirit to receive those things, that your word go forth and not return void. In Jesus' mighty name. In verse 44, would you read it? Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud spirit, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last breath. Now listen, I want you to underline into your hands. Verse 47, so when the centurion saw that what had happened, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. And the whole crowd who came together to that sight, seeing what had been done, beat their breasts and returned. But all his acquaintances and the women who followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. Something happened here. Jesus came to his end. Does everybody understand that? Jesus came to his end. And you know what he did at the end? He committed his spirit into the hands of God. How many of y'all have gone to your last wits? It's like that said, I can't do it any longer. I'm done with this. I don't want to live this way. You considered about killing yourself. You considered all kinds of goofy things. And you've come to the point where it's like, I'm at my wit's end. This is it. I'm at the end of what's going on. I don't know what to do. I'm done. I'm finished. I'm telling you something. Something happens when you come to your wit's end. And you say, into your hands I commit my spirit. Let me share something with you. I used to pray, and I still do pray, in the area of, hallelujah, in the area of committing my spirit, my soul, and my body into the hands of God. There are times when in fact, there's much persecution out there. Many people who do not understand the things of the Spirit will either call you a cult or they don't get things according to their way. You know, people leave the ministry and they begin to speak bad things because of things they don't understand. So they call it evil or they want vengeance and so forth. But regardless of all that, one of the things that we must do is forgive. Amen? So we forgive. And the Bible says, forgive those who persecute you, use you, and speak against you, and pray for those. In fact, it even tells you to bless them. Amen? And then you know what I do? I say, Lord, now I commit these souls into your hands. and you take care of it. Because see, it releases me from it. I commit this into your hands. Let me tell you, something begins to change when you do that. Like I said, are you at your wit's end? Then commit it into his hands. Hello? Many of us have been out there going, oh, I can't live this way. I want to stop using drugs. I want to stop cussing. I want to do this. I want to stop the fornication. I want to stop displeasing God. I want to stop running. I want to stop these things. And we called out in the name of the Lord. What did God do? He sent his hand to you. And he said, grab hold. Amen? Grab hold. Go to Matthew 27. Oh, hallelujah. Matthew 27. Jesus cried out, I commit my spirit into your hands, huh? Amen. Go to verse 50. Something happened after he committed his spirit into the hands of God. Oh, to God be the glory. I pray we get this. In verse 50, read it with me. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. What did he do? He committed up his spirit into the hands of God. Well, look at what happens here. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth quaked and the rocks were split. Something happened when he committed his spirit into the hands of God. Something always happens when you commit your spirit or your circumstances into the hands of God. Look at this in verse 52. And the graves were opened. Oh, highlight these things. And the graves are what? Opened. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves, after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. And so when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. And many of the women who followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, were there looking on afar from him. Among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Joaz, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. Now listen. Something happens when you commit things into the hand of God. God begins to move. This is what happened when Jesus committed his spirit into the hands of God. The veil tore. The veil in the temple was torn. Hello? Amen? The earthquakes, rocks were split, graves were opened up. Bodies became alive. Jesus rose from the dead. Bodies became witnesses. And to God be the glory. I want to talk about more tonight. I'm going to talk about the hand of God. There's so many times when we have come to places where we just don't know what to do. And I'm telling you what, you release the hand of God in these circumstances and something begins to happen. Because nobody can stand against the hand of God. Nobody. Go to Exodus 31. I heard a part of a simple teaching by Cephalo Dollar, and he was talking about the hand of God. And it began to remind me of all the times and how I welcomed the hand of God in my life. And the Holy Spirit just quickened me and said, you need to share this with your people. And I want to share it with you according to the Spirit not according to a man. In Exodus 31. Oh, hallelujah. How many times were you had no food? Hello? Had no money, didn't know what to do. And you committed into the hands of God. Lord, I give this to you. Well, now we're going to learn how to release the hand of God in every circumstance. Because it's something that God has granted to me and you, but I truly believe it's been left aside in the revelation of it. And we need to get the revelation of it. Now remember, last week we had the revelation of understanding. And I encourage everyone in this room that didn't get last week's teaching to get it. Because the reason why many people go astray is because they have no understanding. They may have comprehension, they may have revelation, but they don't have understanding. That's a whole different arena. So please get the tape. Exodus 31. Is everybody there? Praise God, I'm working on it. Hallelujah. It's good to hear the pages turning on a Tuesday night. And verse 18. Exodus. Did I say 31? Okay. We'll go there. Sure doesn't look like it makes sense to me. Oh, maybe it was 32. Exodus 31 and verse 18. Well, let's read it and see what happens. And when he had made an end of speaking with him on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone, written with what? Written with what? Written with what? So the law was written with the finger. Well, what's attached to the finger? Hello? I'm glad you didn't say the foot. We'd have really been in trouble. So the original law was written with the finger of God. It became his hand. It's because his hand was there, wasn't it? Well, in the Old Testament, if you broke the law, you what? You died. So the law was a representation of judgment, wasn't it? See, God's hand, when you invite the hand of the Lord in something, it can become judgment. Hello? Now listen. Oh, to God be the glory. Now go to John 8. John chapter 8. Oh, he's good. John chapter 8. Praise God. You know, sometimes when I'm getting these things, I'm writing things down so quickly that I don't even know what's what. And I'm flying through the scriptures at midnight. And it's like, okay. I'll meet you there. All right, Lord. I'll be there. Now tell me what you want to do. And John, chapter 8, starting at verse 1. Now, the written law that was written by the finger of God or the hand of God in stone, right, was a representation of judgment. Is everybody with me? Okay. Now, but Jesus went to Mount of Olives. Now, early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. Is everybody with me? John chapter 8, verse 3. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. And they said to him, Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what do you say? Remember, he said, Moses in the law said, a woman like this should be stoned to death. Now, what do you say? Why? Because, remember, they were going by what God had wrote by his hand or his finger in stone. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such a woman should be stoned, but what do you say? This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and what did he do? He wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. You know what he was doing? Rewriting the law. Watch. You tell him, hey man, I was excited at midnight when he was beginning to tell me this stuff. I'd never seen this before. He said he was rewriting the law. Whoa. Now, is everybody with me? So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up. Are we there? And said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw the what? Why were they going to? Listen, remember, God's hand wrote into what? Stones. Now they were all standing there with what? Stones. Why? Because the stones were representation of the hand of God in judgment. And Jesus was writing in the ground of dirt. He was rewriting the law with his own hand again. And he said to them, and again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. He was rewriting the law, going, listen, it's no more about the law, it's about relationship. Here it is, me and you now. It's me and you. And when Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. Oh, do you understand? She acknowledged him. Relationship began instantly. Why? Because she got rescued from the law. She got rescued from the law. She says, neither. And he said to her, she said, no one, Lord, no accusers. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Same hand that brings judgment brings protection, mercy, and blessing. The stone was the representation of law, but Jesus was rewriting the law. The same finger that wrote the law of the Old Testament is now the same finger that wrote the law of the New Testament, known as the law of the Spirit. Is everybody with me? The hand of God was in motion. The hand of God was in the midst, wasn't it? Now let me share some. I want to go to another scripture before I share something else. Come on. Luke 11. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes people don't understand what you do. But you got to do what you're told. Because he knows what's best. Everything's about kingdom business. Does everybody understand that? See, when you receive from the counsel of the Lord, it's about kingdom business. Everything since Jesus left the earth, left his Holy Spirit, it's all been about kingdom business. And too many are moving from kingdom business to soulish business. They're getting too moved by what they feel But what's good for them? They have no idea of the total outcome. There are decisions that you're going to make that are not going to make sense. But it's about kingdom business. Everything. Everything is about kingdom business. Why? Because if you're inviting the hand of God in a circumstance, it's about kingdom business. Remember, Jesus said, "Behold, the kingdom of God is upon you." He was the kingdom, wasn't he? What was he doing? His hand was in motion. The hand of God was here on the earth, rewriting the law. Oh, hallelujah. And Luke 11 and verse 20. Is everybody there? Luke 11 and verse 20. Read it with me. He says, "But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you." So I want you to understand something. Something's going on, right? Something's happening. There's offense. There's something going on. There's a circumstance involved. I'm sharing with you that when you release the God's hand in that moment, God will either bring judgment or blessing in it. God brings judgment or blessing. Now, he's not judging the individual. He's judging the demons that are using the individual. Has everybody got it? Now, if that individual decides to keep associating with that demon, of course, he's going to go through stuff too, isn't he? But God is not judging the person. He's judging the demon that's using the individual. Is everybody with me? Now, like I said, if that person decides to go and hang out with that demon or stay with that demon, he's going to go through some stuff. When circumstances arise in our ministry and whatever, and there are certain things that I'm just not sure what I'm supposed to do, in fact, almost every single day, I may not know what to do now, but I will. I release the hand of God and I wait. Then usually something comes. I see people drop like flies. The Bible says, "Touch not the anointed." Amen. It's not about a person. The anointed is, "Touch not the Holy Spirit." Hello? That's the anointed. So if God has anointed an office or a person or whatever, it's not about the person. It's about coming against God's hand. See, so when you release the hand of God into a circumstance, what begins to happen is judgment or blessing. God is not judging the person. He's judging the demon that's using the person. If the person continues to associate with that demon, he's going to go through stuff too. In fact, he may leave right with that demon. Does everybody understand that? Like I said, there's sometimes when there's a lot of stuff going on, I just release the hand of God and I see people drop like flies because they want to choose the demon over the blessing and they can have it. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Jesus cast out demons with the finger of God. Judgment turned from the man to the demonic forces. Is everybody with me? Okay, now go to Ephesians chapter 4. You know, I'm sharing something with you that is in my life because I confess every single day to the Lord, I am nothing and I can do nothing without Him. I am nothing without you. Nothing. In fact, you make me look good. He makes you look good. He does. He makes us look good. But we're nothing. You know? So, every day, Lord, I'm nothing without you. I can do nothing without you. I commit my spirit and my life into your hand. You make the way. I remember one day I had a vision of me standing in the palm of his hand, just sitting in there. Let him take you where you're supposed to go. Release the hand of God in your life and you're going to find things begin to happen. Why? Because he's going to judge those demons. He's going to judge the powers of darkness. The problem is we're still too busy trying to be God. We're listening to everything but him. We listen to people's opinions. We listen to everything. We go to great lengths to listen to the voice of a stranger. Instead of releasing things into the hand of God and waiting. The problem is they release things and I can't wait. Oh, hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8. I'm in Timothy. No wonder why it sounded funny. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now, isn't this quite interesting that we're talking about this right when Passover is about to hit? I mean, think how cool God is. Resurrection day is come around the corner. We're talking about releasing the hand of God. And when Jesus submitted and committed his spirit into the hands of God was the day of Passover, the first feast to be fulfilled. All kinds of stuff happened. Hell broke out. Actually, hell got loosed and the people involved with hell. People bound. Look at the graves were open, weren't they? People got witnessed to by those who were dead but now alive. Something happens when the hand of God is released in a circumstance or in your life. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8, and it says, therefore he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this he ascended, what does it mean but that he what? Also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. Why did he descend into the lower parts of the earth? To take the keys away from Satan's kingdom. Amen? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ or the fullness of the anointing. Now I want to share something with you. He said, listen, when I first heard this years ago, when I was a younger believer than I am now, hallelujah, this was called the fivefold ministry of the body of Christ. How many fingers are on your hand? When I first heard this, I saw the hand of God. See, when Jesus was taken, he left his body, right? But the hand of God, see, the body of Christ is now supposed to be the hand of God. Doing the work. The hand of God is still left here. See, the fivefold ministry of the body of Christ is actually the hand of God. Is everybody with me? When I began to hear this, when it talked about the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, well, that's fivefold. That was the hand of God that was being stretched out through the body of Christ. In verse 14, he said, listen, these offices, representation, my fivefold ministry, representation of the hand of God, is there to equip the body of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the what? Whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Oh, hallelujah. After committing Jesus' spirit into the Father's hands, the fivefold ministry, the five fingers on the hand, the body of Christ is to express his hand in the world with power and authority. With power and authority. Now let me tell you why. Restoring what was lost. Does everybody understand that? Well, how do you restore something that's lost? Judgment and blessing. Judgment to the powers of darkness is what causes things to be returned. That's why the Bible says that the devil has to return sevenfold of the things he's stolen from you. The devil had you, judgment came on the devil, then he had to release you. Somebody got it? Why? How did it happen? Through the body of Christ, the hand of God that set forth the seed, somebody was interceding for somebody. Everyone in this room has been saved by somebody else's prayer. Why? Because the hand of God had been released. That fivefold ministry, the hand of God. Everybody with me? Now let me share this again. After the committing spirit of Jesus Christ went into the hands of the Father, the fivefold ministry was established, the hand of God, through the body of Christ. It was the body of Christ is to express the hand of God in the world with the power and authority. Why? For restoring what was lost. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Revelation chapter 1. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 4. Glory to God. Is everybody there? Hallelujah. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. He said, grace to you and peace from him who is and who is to come. And from the seven spirits who are before his throne. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And has made us what? Kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He made us kings and priests. It means power and authority. Power and authority. He has made me and you kings and priests. Power and authority. Does everybody understand that? See, the problem is they're not using it. It needed to be restored, didn't it? Go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1. Oh, hallelujah. And verse 26. Anybody there? Then God said, what did he say? Let us make man in our image and according to our likeness. Would you say that would be power and authority? Amen. And let them have what? Dominion. Over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth. And over what? Every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. The demons creep on the earth? Hallelujah. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. And what did he give them? Dominion. Let me share with you about dominion. The word dominion means right to command. The right to command is dominion. The right to command. Now, that means there's authority involved, isn't there? For you have the right to command, that means you've got authority. Amen. What was being restored that was lost in the garden was the right to command or take dominion with authority. Remember, the Lord brought the animals to Adam and said, take authority. What did he do? He said, you name them. Why didn't God name them? Because Adam was designated ruler. Remember, God never interrupts himself, even when he designates someone as a ruler. Oh, hallelujah. Dominion means the right to command, taking authority. Go to Psalm 8. This is what's being restored. Do you understand that? Psalm chapter 8. In verse 3. Oh, to God be the glory. Would you read it with me, please? Psalm chapter 8 and verse 3. Is everybody there? When I consider your heavens, the work of your what? Your fingers. The moon and the stars which we have ordained. What is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the... Now that word angels is incorrect. That word is supposed to be Elohim. Not angels. Elohim. E-L-O-H-I-M. That word is supposed to be Elohim. And that word means God. You have made him a little lower than who? God. Man was created. Didn't we just read it? He was made in his image and likeness. The angels were not. Man was. Somebody understand that? You and I, Adam, was made a little lower than God himself. Not that we're gods. Amen? But that word where that says angels in a true translation says Elohim or Elohim, which means God. So he says, listen, why are you mindful of them? And the Son of Man that you visit him. For you have made him a little lower than God, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the what? Works of your hands. Wow. You have put all things under his feet. Man, a little bit lower than God, granted us to have dominion or authority over the works of his hands. That means you have the ability and the authority to release the hand of God at any time. Does everybody understand that? Dominion means what? Command over. Take authority. God Almighty granted me and you to have authority and releasing his hand in anything. Any circumstance. Anything in your life. You have dominion to release the hand of God. Is everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. Go to Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45. You know, there's a lot of people crying out to God. Oh, God, do this. Oh, God, do that. And he's saying, man, why don't you just release my hand? Release my hand in this circumstance. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Oh, Lord, I need some finances. Release my hand. I'll judge the demons that are stealing from you, and I'll bless your socks off. Do you see them? No socks. I don't wear socks. Except for work boots and stuff and sneakers. I'm telling you, my socks have been blessed off. Isaiah 45. In verse 11, everybody read this with me now. Is everybody okay? You're getting this? Praise God. Come on, read this with me. Thus says the Lord. Who says? The Lord. The Holy One of Israel and His Maker. That means Jesus and the Father. Ask me of things to come concerning my sons. Who's His sons? We are. And concerning the work of my hands, you command me. You command me concerning the works of my hands. Does everybody see that? He says, you command me. Now let me tell you. He says, command, not demand. There's a difference. The word command here means commission, assign, or appoint. Commission, assign, or appoint. When you release the hand of God into a circumstance, you're commissioning Him, His hand, to be there because He said, command my hand. Why? Because you're a king's kid. You've been granted authority and power. Release my hand. Commission my hand. Command my hand. Appoint my hand. Assign my hand into this circumstance. Why? I will bring judgment against darkness and I will bless your socks off. Go to 1 Samuel 7. Command me, he said. Oh, glory. Not demand. Command, right? First Samuel chapter 7. All lives are going to change tonight. Devil's shaking in the corner. His tail's between his legs. He's saying, oh no, they're going to start releasing the hand of God in my life now. Just think if we started releasing the hand of God in all the terrorist movements. Instead of going, oh God, have mercy. He did already. Oh God, have grace. He already did that too. Mercy was His consideration. Grace was His plan and action. It's already happening. Now we need to release the hand of God in every circumstance. But let me tell you something. If you release the hand of God in your circumstance, you better be right with God. Because what you sow is what you reap. Oh, hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 13. Is everybody there? So the Philistines were subdued, and they did not come anymore into the territory of Israel. And the what? And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. Then the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were what? Restored to Israel. From Ekron to Gath. And Israel recovered its territory from the hands of the Philistines. Also there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. Now listen. Samuel released the hand of God. And what happened? Everything was restored. So everybody got it? Samuel released the hand of God and restored. Now, he restored blessing and he judged their enemies, didn't he? the Philistines. When you release the hand of God, judgment and blessing come. Go to Psalm 78. Are you getting this? Glory. Psalm 78. In verse 41. We'll start at 40. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Read it with me. How often they provoked him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. Yes, again and again they what? They tempted God. And what? Limited the Holy One Israel. They did not remember his what? It's supposed to be his hand. The day when he redeemed them from the enemy. They did not remember his hand. Does everybody understand that? They tempted God by forgetting. They actually limited God. It says they limited, didn't he? You want to limit God in your life? No. They limited by forgetting and remembering what his hand had done for them. Does everybody understand it? They tempted and limited God by forgetting his hand in their circumstances. Oh, hallelujah. You know, did you ever, you know, when you start getting in frustration and so forth, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit starts quickening you about the hand of God being in your life and doing things and rescuing from being killed, rescuing from something, whatever. There's always been a rescue. God's hand is always in rescuing. You know? I mean, we went through so much stuff. The time of rescuing us from death, for how many times some of us have overdosed enough time, or driving home with one eye open because the car didn't fit around, and you're, you know, going all kinds of places, and you made it home and you kissed the ground when you got out of that car and you thank God and you woke up the next morning feeling like garbage. Oh God, I'll never do it again. Just get me through tonight. What a liar we were. He knew we were using him. But you know what? His hand was there. His hand. So we limit God by forgetting all of the blessings, by all the rescues, by his hand being there. Look at what the Israelites went through. What did God do? He set that pillar of fire and kept them. He split the ocean, the sea right in half, where they could walk through. I mean, they all saw the hand of God. And then they forgot. And then they grumbled and complained because they were hungry and didn't rain food. Then they were thirsty and they hit a rock. Their shoes grew when they grew. They didn't have to go to the shoe store. And they forgot the mighty hand of God in their lives. Go to Acts 13. Don't limit him. Oh, hallelujah. Acts 13 and verse 6. Is everybody there? Now, when they had gone through the island of Paphos, whatever, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul, Sergius, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. So here's a man that wanted to hear the word of God, right? And the sorcerer was there. But Limas, the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him, and he said, "O full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now indeed," what did he say? "The hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be what? Blind. Not seeing the sun for a time." And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. And the proconsul believed when they saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. What did Paul do? He released the hand of God, didn't he? And what God judged? The demons. Does everybody understand that? Hand brings judgment or blessing. Go to Exodus 3. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, but I don't know what my spouse is doing. I haven't seen my kids and this and that. I just don't release the hand of God. And let God take care of it and get out of it. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 20. Exodus 3 and verse 20. Is everybody there? Is everybody getting this? He said, "Command my hand," didn't he? In verse 20, what does he say? Hold on, let's go to 19. "But I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not even by a mighty hand." He didn't know about God's hand, though. "So I will stretch out my hand," he said, "and strike Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in its midst. And after that, he will" what? "He will let you go." God brings what? Judgment when his hand's released. And what? Blessing. Wow. Now look at, it says in verse 21, "And I will give the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall be when you go that you shall not go empty-handed." Oh, hallelujah. Release the hand of God. Go to Numbers 11. Numbers 11. Praise you, Lord. In verse 23. Is everybody there? "And the Lord said to Moses, has the Lord's arm been shortened? Now you shall see whether what I say will happen to you or not. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. And he gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tabernacle." What did he say? "Is my hand too short?" "Then the Lord came down in a cloud and spoke to him and took of the spirit that was upon him and placed the same upon the 70 elders. And it happened when the spirit rested upon them that they prophesied, although they never did it so again." What did he do? He anointed them to become judges. He anointed them to become judges. I said, "What's the matter with you, Moses? Is my arm too short? Come on, bring those 70 elders over here." He came down, touched every one of them, and they became judges. They became the extension of the hand of God. Amen? Go to Joshua 4. Joshua chapter 4 and verse 21. Joshua chapter 4 and verse 21. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over, that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. He said, tell your children, let them know about the hand of God. Go to Daniel 5 for a minute. Daniel chapter 5. And verse 35. Daniel 4, verse 35. I'm sorry. Daniel 4. Ooh, this is good. Daniel chapter 4. And verse 35, and it says, read it with me. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven. No one can what? Restrain his hand. Or say to him, what have you done? No one can restrain the hand of the Lord. So why are we not releasing the hand of God more in the circumstances? Because my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Go to 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings 18. Oh, to God be the glory. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. In verse 41, then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of an abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, then he was bowed down on the ground, and he put his face between his knees, and he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up and he looked and said, there's nothing. And seven times he said, go again. He was persistent. Then he came to pass the seventh time, meaning complete and perfect, that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Let me tell you something. When the hand of God is released in your life, he will move you places you couldn't go before. Hello? 2 Kings 3. Second Kings 3. Is everybody there? Is everybody okay? In verse 15. This is about Elijah. And he said, listen, bring now me a musician. And it happened when the musician played that the what? Hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. What was he getting? Revelation, wasn't he? Something was happening when the hand of God came upon him. How did that happen? By worshiping the Lord. See, when you and I worship the Lord, the hand of God comes. What are we actually doing? We're releasing his hand. We're welcoming him in the presence. What has he does? He brings judgment to the powers of darkness, doesn't he? And he blesses his people. Go to Ezra. The hand comes with worship. Ezra. Ezra. In chapter 7. Praise God. This Ezra came up from Babylon, and he was a skilled scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. The king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord, his God, upon him. Now let me share something with you. His hand comes also with worship. Granted requests are involved when God's hand is there. When God's hand is involved in something, it's an opportunity for requests or prayers to get answered. Does everybody understand that? Go to Ezra 7:27. I'm sorry. Go to verse 27 and read it. Verse 27 and verse 28. It says, blessed be the Lord God of our fathers who has put such a thing as this in the king's heart to beautify the house of the Lord which is in Jerusalem, and has extended mercy to me before the king and his counselors and before all the king's mighty princes. So I was what? Encouraged as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me. And I gathered leading men of Israel to go up with me. Let me tell you, God's hand brings encouragement and favor. Brings encouragement and favor. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Oh, to God be the glory. I just don't know about my job. I don't know what to do. Release the hand of God and get out of there. Out of the way. Sometimes we need to release the hand of God and get out of there because we know what's about to happen. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. Would you read it with me? Therefore what? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may what? Exalt you in due time. Humble yourself. Eat some humble pie with a lot of whipped cream. Casting what? All your care upon him, for he what? He cares for you. That's one of the things that prevent the hand of God from coming. Because people are not willing to release the hand of God. They were some people, you know, there's some people who love burdens. Man, if they can't keep their 2 cents out of something, they're busybodies. They pick up everybody's burdens. It gives them fulfillment. Well, why isn't this and why isn't that? Right? Man, shut up and release the hand of God. Hello? Come on, give God a break. You know, what happens is because the Bible says that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. People who want to get in everybody's business and try and control things, they're prideful. They're prideful. Amen? I'd rather just do it myself. Ask for help. Commission his hand. and get it out of yours. Amen? Commission the hand of God and get it out of your own. And watch the hand of God move. Psalm 55. Psalm 55. To God be the glory. Is everybody there? In verse 22. It says, cast your burden on the Lord and he shall what? Sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be what? To be moved. Oh, hallelujah. You won't fall. You won't fail. You won't slip. And you won't be moved. Cast your burden on the Lord. Release his hand. And let it go. Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. And then one more scripture and we're closing. Isaiah 59, starting at verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is what? Not shortened, that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue has muttered perversity. One of the things that will prevent the hand of God moving on your behalf is being out of position. Does everybody understand that? That's why we must get right with God and get in position before you ask the hand of God to be released on your behalf. And I want to close at Philippians 4. Hallelujah. Philippians 4. Is everybody there? Starting in verse 4. It says what? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is what? At hand. Let your be what? Anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The Lord is at hand. This is where we've got to trust, release, obey, commit, and leave it in his hands. Amen. Release the hand of God in your circumstances, that judgment and blessing will come forth. But you must be right with God. Amen? And listen, the body of Christ needs to move in this area. We need to move in this area. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Lord, we repent for limiting you by tempting you and not releasing your hand. We ask for your forgiveness. And Lord, everything that we've done in any decision or any action in our life and anything that has caused us or prevented your face from shining upon us and your face from hiding from us, any iniquities that have been abound in our life, Lord, we repent and we ask for your forgiveness and that you restore those things that have been taken according to your word with judgment and blessing as we release your hand in our lives and our circumstances that you may be glorified in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.